Good evening. I'm glad you're here. It's always a challenge for us to put together some thoughts. It is for me anyway. And to be able to study a little closer and a little bit more intense about the things that God has for us to know out of His Word. A little bit of a departure from normal lately, with everybody being sick and brothers having a feeling here and there. And to those who have already helped with filling in the blanks, and we're glad you've done that. And for those of you that have not, stand by. I'd like to begin with reading. I've got several readings in my lesson this evening, but what better thing to read than our Father's Word? I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 1 for me. We're going to be reading here in just a couple of moments from Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For it is His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to their lusts of their hearts and to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for that which is contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing what is shameless with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what they ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, and they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them." A little bit of a lengthy reading there, but I wanted to share that in the climate that we live in today. When we look around outside or look at the newspaper or read or look at the news on the TV, a lot of the things that have been described in what we just read can be clearly seen without any mistaking of what they are. In this text that we just read is the title of my lesson this evening. It's called Corrupting the Glory of the Incorruptible God. You see, when man attempts to change the Word of God to what he thinks is more correct, he is actually changing his interpretation of the Word. This practice leads to many errors and ultimately to man's destruction, not only for himself, but all who hear and believe his erroneous interpretation of the will of God. Influential people who misinterpret the Word often mislead us. This is the reason there are so many divisions or denominations in the church today. We sometimes get tired of studying the Word for ourselves, and we accept what we may hear from a person that we might trust. We may be very sincere in our belief about whatever the teacher says, the preacher says is true. That is until we hear something from a different or another teacher or preacher. We need to be very careful with when we say to ourselves, after we've heard something from one of these people, "Gee, I've never thought about that passage that way." This may lead some of us to ask what we're supposed to believe. Just what are we supposed to believe? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about that this evening. Let's start by looking at a few examples of man's error in the Bible. We're going to read several, and I would like to summarize those at the end and try to get us to understand what it is that God really wants us to believe. Like I said, we're trying to establish what is glory, glorifying the incorruptible God that we serve. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, let's begin in verse 1. This is about the time of right after the death of John the Baptist, or right around the death of John the Baptist. Verse 1, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus. And he said to his servants, is this John the Baptist? Has he been raised from the dead? That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. Now, why would Herod think such a thing? Well, for number one, Herod knew exactly where John the Baptist was. You remember that a little further down in the passage there, he had him executed by removing of his head. John the Baptist was dead, and he was still in the tomb. But Herod was thinking, that Jesus was John the Baptist. Did what Herod believed change who Jesus was? No. Even though Herod thought for sure that he was correct in his assumption. Turn a couple pages over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Here's another example. Now, when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I shall give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on things of man. You see, the people, especially in this passage, Peter was trying to dissuade Jesus from doing what he knew what he had to do. Even though he believed it, didn't change who Jesus was, didn't change what Jesus' mission was. Even though he believed what he was saying was absolutely true. You see, there's many examples, if you go through the Bible enough times, you'll find them, where people have absolutely certainty about what they believe. But it's not necessarily true. We've got to make sure we understand what truth is and believe that, not what someone tells us. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 37. Let's begin in the beginning. Genesis chapter 37, beginning about verse 31. If you recall the story in Genesis chapter 37, the story about Joseph and his brothers and what they had done to him. Verse 31. Then they, being the brothers, took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in the blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, this we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not. And he identified it and said, this is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces. What a hard thing for a man to have to realize. He believes in his heart that his son has been killed by an animal. Verse 34, then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, no, I shall go down to Sheol to my son in mourning. Thus the father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Did what was believed by Joseph, what was believed by his dad about Joseph was that he was torn to pieces. He had absolutely no doubt. That was not the truth. The sons knew it. The part that hurts my feelings the most here is about that when after Jacob had started mourning Joseph, the sons and daughters came together to mourn with him, try to comfort him. The sons knew what they had done. But they continued to hide it from their father. Now, if you will, turn with me over to the New Testament. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Look about verse 6. Paul here is talking to the church at Galatia. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you to the grace of Christ and are turning to things of a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want you to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again, if anyone preaches to you the gospel contrary to one you have received, let him be accursed. Would you be able to believe an angel if he were to come and appear here and start teaching something different than what we find between the pages of the Bible? Would you believe him? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just a couple of pages over. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to determine the claim of those And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that that in their boasted mission, they work for the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Men here teaching things that are not so. People believing it and being led astray. We've got to be on guard about such things. And it says even if an angel, earlier it said even if an angel preaches something different than what you've been taught through reading of the Gospels, we shouldn't believe it. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them in these matters. There are some things that in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with error of the lawless people and those who lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and both now and forever and to the day of eternity. Amen. After reading passages that we just read, we must come to the same conclusion that we can't even believe an angel if he tells us something different. We have to be teaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. 2 Peter chapter 3, we just read, if anyone twists the scriptures to their own benefit, to suit what they think is correct, They're leading us into destruction. And we have to stand against that. This is still a problem today. Many denominations have done that very thing. The men who wrote the creeds, followed by millions of people today, twisted the scriptures to suit their own beliefs. By doing this, they've caused and will cause many souls to be lost for eternity. We have to be very vigilant and keep the truth as our creed and follow it to the letter and not be taken in by what someone may tell us the truth is. Research it for ourselves and make sure. You see, throughout the history of man, one of the most committed one of the most committed sins is the sin of worshiping the creature rather than the Creator, as we read earlier. Also in Genesis 35, verse 2, Jacob instructed those in the household to put away the foreign gods that are among you. Well, where did they get these foreign gods? They made them with their hands. They began worshiping idols that they had made. It seemed to be a constant thing with the children of Israel. They were constantly fighting against idolatry. Remember back when Moses received up to get the law on the mountain after they were released from Egypt? He had no longer got good out of sight before they started making themselves an idol. And this was just after they had been free from Egyptian slavery. They were later returned to bondage, again, for the same problem, idolatry. And after they had returned from that period of captivity, they continually corrupted the worship of the one true God, almost continually. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Turn there with me. Malachi chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame and are sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you and show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand. Will he show favor to you, to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Verse 10. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle the fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. God was basically telling the children of Israel there, I don't want to hear any more of your worship. I don't honor your worship anymore. You're cutting me short on what you owe me in your worship. Even during the apostolic days, during the New Testament, people worship the creature rather than the Creator. There are several passages we can read to amplify this fact, but I'd like for you to turn to chapter 10 of Acts for me. Acts chapter 10. Let's read verse 24 through 26. Acts chapter 10, 24 through 26. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I too am a man. You see, there was a situation there where Cornelius was ready to worship the man and just walked in the door. Now, there was some teaching and some learning that needed to have been done there, but you see, it still happened. Turn a couple of pages over to chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, beginning verse 8. Now, at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand up right on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. When the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lyconian, "The gods have come down in the likeness of men. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priests of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifices with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Saul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed into the crowd, crying out, 'Men, what are you doing? Why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and you bring you good news that you should turn away from those things, the vain things, to a living God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them.'" You see, men wanted to worship these two men who had just been preaching, Paul and Barnabas. In Revelation chapter 22, if you turn there just for a moment, Revelation 22 is beginning in verse 8. "And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down and worshipped at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and your brothers the prophets and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.'" What would we have done if we were in Jesus' shoes or sandals when he was tempted by the devil after that 40-day period out in the wilderness? We read earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light and deceive people. Would we have thought that he was an angel speaking in Matthew chapter 4? I would certainly hope not. People even today still have a problem with creature worship. They call mere men Holy Father or Reverend. Why not even thinking about what the Bible says about such things? Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 through 11, pretty much sums up the Holy Father question. Psalm 111, verse 9, the word reverend is used in the Old King James Version Bible. It doesn't sound like what I would want to be called, what someone should be calling a man. Just remember, Jesus taught in John chapter 13, verses 3 through 15, that if someone wants to have dominion over another person, why would he be washing their feet? Jesus knew that he was their Lord and Master. He knew that he was the Son of God. Yet he humbled himself to wash his disciples' feet. We would do well to remember this when we walk up to our denominational friends and ask why they believe and act the way that they do. It's not about lording over someone. It's about being humble and doing what is required to be righteous in the eyes of God. So how does the 21st century man change the incorruptible God into the likeness of corruptible man? First of all, man thinks that God feels towards his laws the same way that men feel toward his laws. Man thinks that God would allow us to break some of the little laws and still welcome us into heaven. What a terrible surprise is waiting for those when judgment comes. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. You remember that's the story where Moses was out in the wilderness with the children of Israel after they'd been released from Egyptian bondage. If you read that account, you understand that God was very displeased with Moses. Why? God had told him to go to a rock and there would be water. And Moses struck the rock. And God had not commanded him to. What? Do you mean that Moses was in trouble with God because he struck a rock? Not because he struck the rock, because he disobeyed what God had told him. You see, man today will also make promises and break them, or make promises and forget them. And we think that God is that way concerning his promises toward us. Again, remember what happened to Moses. And he was God's ambassador to the children of Israel. Men think God will compromise, just like men do. And then there exists a difference. When there exists a difference of opinion between man's will and God's will, he thinks there will be a negotiation or a compromise. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus 10, let's start reading in verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took his censer and put fire in it that was, and laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Does that sound like God is going to make a negotiation out of something he commands? Does that sound like God is going to be just acceptable, accepting anything that we think is acceptable to him because of our opinion about how much it's valued? He warns us all over the place about disobedience. And passages like this should remind us that he will not accept something otherwise, other than what he wants. Since we as men often deceive each other, we think that God is also susceptible to deception. A common misconception among men is that God may not be paying attention today when I'm doing this. Let's read Hebrews chapter 4. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and let's begin reading in verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the division of soul and spirit, the joints of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account. That should be a sobering passage for us. It should snap us back into reality and tell us and remind us about how God feels about what his commandments are. Sometimes when we were back in the old days, we had the old song books, we'd sing a song. And part of the song is, "There's an all-seeing eye watching you." And I know sometimes in children's class we still sing that song. Whose eye? Where? The answer is God's eye. Everywhere. Even when we think we're hid from our fellow man, when we're out by ourselves walking around the woods, that eye is still on us. He still knows what we're doing and what we're thinking. We need to remember this particular thing and make sure we teach it to our children. They are bombarded every day with wrong things from their friends, and the friends tell them that no one will ever know if you do this. We need to make sure that they know that there is an all-seeing eye and that God knows everything. We need to make sure that they know that if they slip something by us, God still knows and God will hold them accountable. I've just tried to give us a few things to think about tonight. Just a couple of things. I hope I haven't misrepresented anything that I've taught this evening. And if I have, please let me know. You'd be my friend if you did. But let's remember what God wants. He wants his people to serve him, be happy about it, be willing to jump at the chance to serve him. So, I haven't went much into what it takes to be a Christian, but we can take care of that. If you feel a need, if anything needs to be done, if you need to be praised, have prayers on your behalf, if you need to be assisted in praying for someone else, it doesn't matter. We want to help. Just come down front while we stand and while we sing this song.